Fantasy Edge with Jonathan Chan, Kevin Kuo, Richard Seville.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to the Fantasy Edge, our Week 16 edition. This week is going to be a little bit different of a show. For everybody in Championship Week, I don't think you need us telling you to pick up Sony Michel and Jalen Hurts. I think that's self-explanatory. Congratulations to everybody who made the finals.
Like me.
Yes, Richard, congratulations. Before we get into everything, I do want to make some apologies for my comments last week. I said Josh Gordon was debuting last week, and I miscalculated. My math was off. Josh Gordon is debuting in Week 16 against the Rams. I'm not in any finals, so I'm starting him with confidence in every league that I was eliminated in. I'm going to have fun this week. And yeah. With that, Richard, how did the rest of your leagues go?
Well, my SFBX, I'm out. You have to be first out of 10 people, and I couldn't be first in the conference. I needed Aaron Rodgers and Davante Adams to do their usual hooking up, but I don't know. They were unhooked this week. But on the good side, I had a comeback win in the F6B League, and I am in my fourth final in this league and going for my third title. Come on, guys. Got to do it. And so I hope I can come through. Yeah, it was quite amazing. Deontay Johnson caught a touchdown, turned everything around. It was just on fire. Oh, you had a... I know that you lost in the, I guess it was quarterfinal, but you posted a fantastic score this week.
Yep, it happens. It happened last year too. Keith eliminated me in the quarters, and then for the rest of the playoffs, I was the highest scorer each week, and I just assume it's going to happen again. So that'd be 2 years in a row. Did I forget to introduce us?
Jonathan Chan of FantasySixPack.net.
The nasally voice you're listening to is myself, Jonathan Chan. I'm the waiver wire guy. And the more distinguished voice is Richard Seville, also FantasySixPack.net.
Yeah, that's quite nice. Thanks.
There you go. Proper introductions for the last in-season podcast of the year.
You know, it's funny. Adele says that too. She says, you've got a radio voice. I don't know.
Like I said, very, very distinguished.
Oh, thanks. You too.
Moving on to our headlines this week. First one, Michael Thomas placed on injured reserve. Not the first time this season he's missed multiple games. And there's a lot of conjecture and, you know, rumors flying around this because he doesn't want to play with Drew Brees. We're not going to focus on that. We'll focus on the player himself. Could not stay healthy this year. High ankle sprain and now dealing with another injury. This going into 2020, Michael Thomas was looked as the undisputed, you know, number one receiver, the safest guy for PPR leagues. And now he was just a mess this year. What are you doing with him for next season, Richard?
Well, there's two things. First of all, Drew Brees coming back. And there's a connection between Michael Thomas and Drew Brees, and I don't know whether that connection will remain with whoever the quarterback is. I really don't see it being, I just don't see it being Taysom Hill. I think it has to be, I don't know, it could be Jameis Winston. Not so sure on that, but there's that, and there's also this thing that... I don't know. There was that locker room controversy. I'm not sure if he's happy on the Saints anymore, and he might want to get traded. I don't know. It just doesn't seem like. I mean, the playoffs are coming, and you know he's on injured reserve, and they're not going to have him probably not for the playoffs, and so he's a big question mark. And with the talented receivers that we've seen coming out, I think you can leave Michael Thomas on the board and get somebody really good as well. I mean, there's so many good guys out there. Like we've seen the emergence of DK Metcalf, Tyreek Hill. I think, you know, you got him ahead of him, Devontae. He's no longer the must-have guy. I think there's better guys, or maybe not better so much as on par. Enough with him, and especially with the other emerging guys. Like, I mean, Justin Jefferson's looking like he's going to turn into a WR1 next year. I mean, he's already close to that now, and who knows with Keenan Allen. I mean, he's got a good rapport with Justin Herbert. So, I mean, there's so many good wide receivers you can get. I really don't think Michael Thomas is just someone that you have to get. I don't know how you think about it, but that's how I feel.
Yeah, I think Thomas has moved down to, like, a tier below Adams and Hill, because with those two you know what you're going to get. Even with Hill, you know, in his, he tends to have some boom bust stuff, but for the most part, he's pretty consistent. Mahomes just looks for him everywhere. So I think Adams, Hill are at the top, and then you can put Thomas in that second tier of receivers. Because if he's playing, he's still going to get targets. Even with Taysom Hill, he had a 100-yard game and double-digit target games as well. So if he's playing, you can't deny like the volume that he gets, regardless of, you know, the kind of routes he's running, which is what started that fight in the first place. But yeah, it's the second tier of receivers there for next season for me anyways.
But I mean, there's a lot of high target receivers that go in for touchdowns. And now, he's pretty sure-handed. You look at Allen Robinson. I mean, he's probably going to leave the Bears, and who knows wherever he goes, he might get on with another good quarterback and get, targets. So it's all about targets and receptions, and if you get on a good offense. The Saints just happen to be a very powerful offense, or were. I mean, they're not looking, I don't know, they've kind of declined in the sense, well, they haven't declined as bad as the Steelers have, but
They declined. They had Taysom Hill for 3 weeks, and then Drew Brees came back at obviously not 100%.
True.
He was very, very clearly hurting this past week. Very clearly hurting.
Yeah, but for the big teams that are like the Chiefs, you know, like Tyreek Hill, like very powerful offense. You got Tyreek Hill and Green Bay, powerful offense. Any receiver on a good, powerful offense. I mean, there's good, like the Seahawks even, you know. I know Russell Wilson isn't throwing as many passes, but the thing about Russell Wilson is that he's generally, when he throws the ball, it's going to get there. He's a pretty accurate passer. He's pretty efficient. So even though he doesn't throw a lot, but I don't know. I think that's a lot of the key is efficiency. Like, I don't know if Kirk Cousins was a little more consistent. I mean, when, you know, Kirk Cousins has a good game, it's really good. When Kirk Cousins has a bad game, it's like Baker Mayfield, you know, like Baker Mayfield, when Baker Mayfield is hot, right now, Baker Mayfield's he's on a hot streak right now. And, he's got guys catching balls all over the place. You know, he's making like fantasy worthy players. Like, I mean, Donovan People Jones, you know, like, I mean, if Baker was a little more consistent, you know, you could get guys on good offense. But back to the thing about Tonical Thomas. Yeah, he's with all these receivers that are so many good receivers out there right now, and emerging receivers, you know, like there's going to be guys that are going to be, you know, competing in that top tier next season. And it's going to be interesting.
For sure. On to another injured receiver who somehow played fewer games than Michael Thomas, I think, or maybe the same. I don't have the numbers off the top of my head. I apologize. But
pretty close.
Kenny Golladay. Kenny Golladay. In and out with a hip with hip issues all year long. It doesn't seem like he's going to be back to the end of the year. He still hasn't practiced as of this morning. So he hasn't practiced in over 9 weeks. It's been 8 weeks since he's had a practice. It's really tough. And going into next year, you know, he's a free agent. We don't know where he's going to go. Is he going to go to a team with a QB like Matt Stafford, who's going to give him those 50-50 balls and, you know, throw with reckless abandon into the end zone where Golladay can do his thing? So it's tough to tell. Golladay is one of those wait and see kind of guys. I can't really rank him at the moment until we know what his situation is going to be.
No, you can't really rank him. And again, he's not a guy that you really have to seriously target. Again, a similar situation to Thomas. There's other guys out there that are just really good to target. And Kenny Golladay, he just doesn't have that. He had that, that high profile name, you know, the name of a guy that you had to get. And I don't know. He hasn't really, I don't think he's really, really emerged as that big receiver on the Detroit Lions. The more efficient guy, the guy that you can trust, like not every week. I mean, he has down weeks, but he doesn't have streaks of down weeks. It's Marvin Jones is just, he's your steady Eddie on that Detroit Lions. I would actually prefer Marvin Jones on that team as a WR2 than just diving for I'd rather target down the list for a Marvin Jones than I would target higher for Kenny Golladay. I'd rather have, I guess what I'm trying to say is that for, you know, to fill out your roster, Marvin Jones is a better fill than picking your number one receiver as Kenny Golladay. I really don't know. I didn't know that he was. You think he might test the free market? Did they not extend his contract?
Nope, he does not have a contract yet.
Interesting.
So, yep, Golladay can end up wherever. But wherever he goes, he's a number one. It's a matter of where and what his ceiling is going to be. Even this year, playing through injuries, he had either 100 yards or a touchdown in all of four of his games that he finished. He did leave the Week 8 game against the Colts, four targets, no catches because he got hurt with the hip injury. But after missing the first 2 weeks, played four games again, and either a touchdown or 100 yards in both. Wherever he goes, he'll be good. He is, you know, a wide receiver one, like maybe a low end one, but his ceiling is going to be determined by wherever he goes.
Yeah.
If he goes to somewhere with even a competent QB, he's going to be fine. I'd have him as my wide receiver one, no problem.
Oh, and well, yes, I guess again, yeah, as you say, depending on where he lands, I'm fine with that.
All right, moving on. Well, we'll stick with the wide receivers for now. I'll skip ahead of this one topic here. Keenan Allen, still a little bit of uncertainty on his availability and what he's going to do this week. Of course, he was limited, truly limited last week on Thursday against the Raiders with a hamstring injury. Despite yelling into the camera not to sit him, fantasy owners forever turning against Keenan Allen for that one.
But, I didn't see any Twitter feeds. Were they pretty? How did Twitter
it was
react?
A lot of it's normal fantasy football Twitter. Everybody's getting mad at nothing. You know, everybody's getting mad at a fake game.
But it was. But he did play decoy. We know that for a fact.
Yeah. Well, I mean, hamstring, like soft tissue injury on a short week with limited practice. Come on now. Like if you started him because the player himself yelled into the camera, "Don't sit me," that's your own fault. Don't blame the player.
No, well, I guess not. But I mean, you kind of think that you just don't expect him. If he's out there, he's playing, and you don't expect him to be a decoy mostly for the most part, which he was. I mean, I think Stafford tried to get him the ball once for a touchdown score just to save the fantasy day, which didn't quite work out. But pardon me, not Stafford. Herbert, so that didn't quite, still got Golladay on the brain. But yeah, Keenan Allen, I don't think you can start him. I think you're right about this soft tissue issue. And I think there's that, you know, I think you're best off. If you're in the final and you owned him somehow and he came through, I think you gotta sit him and go with your plan B. It's just not worth it. At least that's the way I feel about it.
I mean, obviously it depends who your other options are and what Allen does in practice for the rest of the week. As of right now, he was held out of Tuesday's practice, so it's not a great start to his week. It's not, you know, a great sign, but if it's against Denver, if he does play, and, you know, your other options are kind of iffy at best, I think you do have to put him in there.
Yeah, that's the problem. They're playing Denver, and it's a good matchup. It's terrible. Yeah.
I mean, Denver
it?
Just got ripped apart by Josh Allen. So,
not only that, there's a revenge factor too, because Denver came back against the Chargers earlier in the season. You remember that one?
Mm-hmm.
So there's a bit of revenge factor going on there, and they're playing in SoFi Stadium, I believe. So they got home field as well. You know.
Yep.
So it's
and also. Allen is 8 yards away from a 1,000-yard season. So, I mean, he's going to play. It's just a matter of how much they'll have him out there.
Yeah, awesome stuff.
All right. Now to the running backs. Ronald Jones, he had minor finger surgery last week and was placed on the COVID list for a close contact, I believe. I don't think he has it. But there hasn't been much on his status going into week 16. If you're a Ronald Jones owner and you don't have Leonard Fournette, who had two touchdowns in week 15, what are you doing with your running back?
You're going to have to pick up something. If you don't have Leonard Fournette, then you can't, obviously, you know, you can't, there's nobody else down the list.
I lied. He's expected to miss week 16. Excuse me.
Oh, so he's definitely out for now. Yeah. So,
well, he's not definitely out. He's just, the Tampa Bay Times reported that he's expected to miss week 16, which makes sense. The Bucs are just playing for positioning right now.
Yeah, I don't think they can move up or down.
And they have the Lions, so I think they should be fine.
Yeah, they're just playing for a better wild card spot, right? Yeah. So
I think Jones probably sits. Fournette takes the reins against the Lions, and then Jones probably comes back against the Falcons in Week 17.
I really don't know who people can pick up off the waiver wire right now. I haven't checked, but there's really no running back you can get unless Salvin Ahmed is still out there, which is very possible because a lot of people.
He's only 23% owned as of when I wrote the waiver wire thing yesterday.
Yeah,
so he's available. But Ahmed, Sony Michel is going to be the lead guy against Buffalo.
Right. I wouldn't touch him.
That's an option. I mean, you know New England's going to run. Like, you know the Patriots have to run the ball. And Michelle's had Belichick's trust before. So, again, if Jones is hurt and your backup is, you know, somebody that's not good, then Michel, you know he's going to get double-digit carries for sure. It's just a matter of how much you trust him.
Yeah, that's true. I don't know. You just don't know with the Patriots, though. It could be James White, you know.
White will never get 10 carries. He'll get some, like, passing out of the backfield, but Michelle will get the bulk of carries if Damien Harris is still out, for sure.
Burkhead is out, isn't he?
Yep, tore his ACL.
That's right. Yeah, Burkhead's gone ages ago. So, yeah, you're right. I guess, I really, really, when it comes to Sony Michel, I think that's catching lightning in a bottle, really. I'd rather have someone like Ahmed that you know is going to get the ball and you know is going to get the carries.
Gaskin might come back. They haven't confirmed it, but Gaskin might come back, which would obviously be an issue.
It could be an issue, but Ahmed has been so effective. I mean, I've seen him in two games, and, well, to be fair, Gaskin has been all right. Actually, that offensive line is doing a bang-up job for the running backs, and that's why the Dolphins are, you know, they're really competing this year. And they didn't seem like they were a team that were ready to compete. I mean, they brought in Tua halfway through the season. Didn't look like they were really... it seemed like they were just testing the waters and they find themselves in playoff contention. I don't know about you, but it seems kind of weird, their playoff contention thing, how it came about. It just seemed to come almost by accident because they always played hard and everything, but because everything was humming when Fitzpatrick was in, and then they decided to bring in Tua just out of the blue and not wait for Fitzpatrick to flop, I guess. It's kind of interesting. But yeah, they got a good team there, and I'm starting to. I think there's a good trust in Tua right now as well, because Tua can run. Tua's got good wheels.
His decision making was pretty good against the Pats. You can see him kind of learning and making better decisions as the game went on, especially after that first interception.
Yeah, meteoric growth. I'm seeing fast growth out of him.
Yep, he's going to be good. And the Dolphins' defense is very good as well. Their secondary is great. Xavien Howard is the top-ranked cornerback this year. He's been extremely, you know, productive. And the defense is going to help. And now that Brian Flores knows he can run the ball, Dolphins could make some noise.
Yeah. I don't know. Did you think that, I know we only saw Burrow for a short time, but do you feel that, don't you think... Tua's growth, I know it's two different teams and two different offensive lines, you know, two different teams of pass protection. I think that Tua's growth looks a little bit better than Burrow's, I think, in the game.
Tua's put in better situations. As you said, it's a far better offensive line in Miami.
Mm-hmm.
There's a reason Burrow was taken first overall, and there's a reason the Bengals were in that position first overall. I believe the Dolphins pick wasn't even their own, was it?
Not sure.
That was the Steelers pick, wasn't it? The fifth overall, that was the Steelers pick.
Yeah, I'm not sure.
Or am I being dumb? Anyways.
No, I don't know. I can't remember. But
either way, the Dolphins, they put Tua in much better situations. Their offensive line is good. The defense is good. Burrow at the time was basically the entire team. With Joe Mixon out, you know, Giovanni Bernard is Gio Bernard. He's a good, you know, pass catching guy, but he's not.
Looked great last night.
Not a guy to lead a running game. Burrow's put in some bad situations. Obviously, the offensive line was kind of trash. It got him hurt, but he looked good as well. As much as he could learn and grow, having to throw it 45, 50 times a game to keep the Cincinnati in the game. And hopefully when he comes back, the Bengals will have invested in some offensive linemen because it's brutal right now for Burrow.
Yeah, it is. And I think, you know, the happiest guy who's smiling in the sunshine who just laughed all the way to the bank is Justin Herbert. I mean, he landed in a perfect spot. The only problem the Chargers have to deal with is that everything seems to be working on offense, but their defense sucks. Justin Herbert could win a lot of games for them if teams wouldn't keep coming back on them. Teams keep coming back, and there's just Herbert puts up the points, but the defense doesn't stop the other team. So, I mean, this is why, you know, you had a team like Denver, you know, that they got, you know, there's this revenge game. I mean, Denver came back on them. That was a bad loss. So they've had a lot of bad losses where Herbert has. I will say this, though, about Herbert. He's pretty good at building up a lead, but and maybe he should be able to hold the lead a little better. By, I don't know, he seems to slow down a little bit after the second half. I don't know if that's true. I'd have to check the splits on his statistics for second half scoring. But I'm pretty sure, just going by, you know, my intuition, I feel that his second half production never matches his first half production. I don't know what the splits are on that, but don't look it up. It's too much of a hassle. It's something you have to, but I don't check the splits very often, but I think that's a split that I'd be very interested to see. Anyways.
Could we pause? Can we hit a pause here? I said take like a 30-second break.
Sure.
So I'll just jump right in and we'll talk about Mostert.
All right.
Or Kittle.
Okay. Shoot. Ready.
Moving on here. George Kittle has a chance to return. He's been practicing. Was designated to return from IR, I believe. 49ers are out of the playoff race. Is it worth the Niners bringing Kittle back in? Obviously, if he's playing, you're going to use him. But is it even likely he's going to start in time or practice enough in time for Week 16?
Well, I think it is. But then again, I'm kind of wondering. I always worry about this, about teams that are out of the playoff chase. And a guy coming off injury, how much are they just going to go with the regular workload? Are we going to see George Kittle light? Not to the extent of like what we saw with Keenan Allen, not that kind of light, but where the guys that have been already playing, like Brandon Ayuk and stuff, I think they balance it out. I mean, he could go in and get a touchdown and a score, so it's perfectly fine. But whether or not he gets the full regular what he usually gets workload is kind of a question mark. I think you start him if he's playing. You start him, but you temper expectations based on the fact that what I just mentioned, being out of the playoff race and loading him up with a regular when they're playing out the string. Is it really worth it? You know, so temper expectations, but you start him for sure.
Yep. If Kittle plays, you have to start him. Yep. Tight end is just that bad.
Yeah.
But sticking with the 49ers, Raheem Mostert will be out for the rest of the season. Went on IR with what is his third high ankle sprain of the year on the same ankle. Very clearly, he keeps coming back a little early, and it's affecting his ability to stay healthy. Yeah. So moving forward, it's going to be Jeff Wilson and Jerick McKinnon. Based on this past week's game, I think Wilson is the guy you want to have, not McKinnon.
Definitely.
Yeah, Wilson, he's going to score a touchdown. He has his games. He's obviously good in the red zone. They've already used him in the red zone, even with everybody healthy. And now that he's the lead guy, he's, of course, going to get the red zone touches. McKinnon, just a deep league PPR guy, I would say. His touches are going to be a little inconsistent. But, yeah, Wilson's the guy.
I don't know about Tevin Coleman either. I don't know his status. But who knows? I mean, but Jeff Wilson, yeah, if you got him and you start him. I mean, he's another option if you if Ronald Jones is not available. Go get Jeff Wilson if he's available. He might be.
He's 54% owned in Yahoo, so I'm assuming the other 46% of leagues are just not paying attention.
Yeah, check your waivers. See if he's around. Yeah. But don't.
Tevin Coleman played last week. He only had 3 carries. I think he's out of the equation here.
Mm-hmm. Fair enough. Yep.
All right. And last bit of news, not really fantasy relevant, but Dwayne Haskins once again showing that he's not a super smart human being. defying the COVID protocols, going, seen maskless at a strip club, you know, putting the team in danger, putting himself in danger. He's looking at losing some salary and a suspension. Washington is going to move on from Haskins, right? Like there's no way they can continue rostering this player and seeing it as a positive, because he's, you know, not a good quarterback, and he also seems to be not the smartest human, putting the rest of the team in danger.
Yeah, it boggles your mind. I mean, you see these guys who have careers and then they throw away, you know. We saw it with Manziel, you know. Manziel is going to live with regret for the rest of his life that he was such a stupid kid, you know. And because he, Manziel, he did a lot of stupid off-the-field things, just like Haskins is doing here. I mean, it's a different thing. I mean, this is a little more serious because it kind of can affect the football team in general, because you're not wearing a mask at a, you know, at a bar, and you're just, I don't even know why the bar has even got bars, or what the places with bars, but, you know, that kind of thing. So, I don't know. This is, you know, it's just going to be one of these things where he's going to have career regrets. I mean, Haskins, you know, he might not be a good quarterback, but there are jobs for less than good quarterbacks that who actually make a living in the NFL, a good living. You know, I mean, look at RG3. I mean, RG3 is not the greatest quarterback. We all know that. But he gets a decent backup job. You know, look at, you know, Ryan Finley. Look how, you know, he's getting in some playing time with the Bengals, and he played really well, and he gets to show his wares, and he's always going to be a, you know, he's trying hard to be an NFL quarterback. And backup role is, you know, it's kind of a prestige job, I mean, in this world, in the football world. I mean, a backup quarterback in the NFL is better than a starting quarterback in the CFL, right? So I would say, I think most backup quarterbacks in the NFL get more money than a starting quarterback in the CFL. So, you know, like, so Haskins is...
Yeah, but your assumption here is that Dwayne Haskins is actually better than Ryan Finley in RG3. All accounts, he's really not.
No, he's not.
I'm assuming RG3 and Ryan Finley are able to help the young quarterbacks ahead of them with, you know, experience, words of wisdom, mentorship. Dwayne Haskins has none of that.
No,
he doesn't. Haskins is not helping a QB room.
No,
like,
but
Dwayne Haskins is only in the NFL because he has physical talent, but the talent is not good enough in the NFL to overcome the rest of the crap that he does. So, he will not be a backup.
No, he won't be a backup. But I mean, who's better? Is he better than McCarron or say Geno Smith? Or, well, I guess Geno Smith is mentor. He's kind of at the mentoring level. Colt McCoy, you know? I can't think of a few others. Blaine Gabbert, you know. I mean, those guys have got, you know, Blaine Gabbert has mentorship qualities. But not only that, Dwayne Haskins, you know, I mean, he's turning into, I mean, he's not even good for a camp arm now. I mean, they won't even want him for a camp arm, you know. Look at Nathan Peterman.
I mean, this is the second character issue that Dwayne Haskins has, that's popped up around Haskins this season. It's not the first time that his character issues have kind of come up.
Oh, no.
After the celebrating and the selfies, you know, in a loss or all that kind of stuff. And it's just, well, that, I don't know.
Like, so my point is that he's throwing it away. I mean, if he could build on his skills.
But,
you know,
that's why he's not going to stay in the NFL, because he just doesn't have that, you know, that quality that's worth keeping around. Even if, you know, you're not the most talented guy, you don't have those other qualities that are going to endear you to teams.
That's right. And coachability and things like that. I mean, this is why Colt McCoy tries hard. That's why he gets a backup job. And same with AJ McCarron, you know, like, I mean, AJ McCarron's no great guy. He's got the best looking wife, probably, in the NFL, but I guess that's all that matters to him.
Yep. All right. Moving on now.
Catherine Webb, by the way, Catherine Webb, have you ever seen her?
Yeah. She's all over TV whenever McCarron plays.
I know. It's great.
Moving on now. As I said at the top of the show, this one's going to be, this week's going to be a little bit different. As I said, we don't need, it's championship week. Most people probably aren't going to need waiver advice, so we're going to skip the waivers this week and just move on to broader spectrum questions about the draft process and looking back at the year that was in fantasy. We'll have our award show at some point over the next month. But
yeah, Kevin's got to be in on that.
Yep. But for now, we'll have some, you know, pre-draft questions, players we missed, and a little bit looking forward to next year. So the first question we have here is, you know, what players did we target this year, but we're gonna not target next year? Richard, you have three players here, so you can go ahead with a couple of them.
All right, my first guy is, I'm gonna say, well, I'll start with a wide receiver, DJ Chark. I kind of had him on the target list. He kind of escaped the chat. It's a good thing, too, that he escaped my He got drafted. I wasn't able to draft him because somebody else would get him. But I'm kind of glad he didn't. But he was definitely a target for me. I would have picked him. If I had the opportunity, I would have picked up DJ Chark, and I would have been disappointed. But he's definitely off the target list. And even if the Jags get a little better, I'm still going to shy away from DJ Chark. I just don't feel there's a real true... I don't think he's a true number one that we thought he was going to be. Like the true leader of in the pecking order. The pecking order seems a bit... it's something that's still in flux. The guy I think that I would target on the Jaguars is actually LaVisca Chenault. I think he could emerge. I just don't think it's Chark. I really don't. But then again, it might not be Chenault either. But I'd rather take someone like Chenault down the list than I would take someone like DJ Chark high. And I don't see DJ Chark being on high on draft list next year. Yeah, I targeted him, but fortunately, he didn't land on any of my teams, which was kind of lucky.
Well, you're not going to target Chark with Trevor Lawrence as his QB? Ooh, that's that'd be something
right.
I'd be super interested in.
That's right. The Jags took over the top
mm-hmm.
the top spot this weekend, didn't they? Yeah, I didn't consider that. I don't know. Trevor Lawrence, I don't know. It's the hippie. I don't know. These long-haired quarterbacks. You see, I noticed that Herbert got a haircut. You know, he looks like a...
yes, Herbert got a haircut.
Herbert got a haircut. No, he looks, you know, decent. Not these long-haired hippies. I don't know. We'll see how Trevor Lawrence does in the NCAA playoffs. Who are they playing again? Ohio State, are they? Yeah, I think it's Ohio State. Alabama's playing Notre Dame in the Rose Bowl. I think that's what it is.
Alright, well, one of my guys, early round guy, Josh Jacobs, I really went after him this year because I knew he was going to get most of the carries, and he has been for the most part. And I thought that in his second year, Gruden would kind of involve him more in the passing game. He did not, and it's tough to take your RB1 or RB2 in the second round when he's getting schemed out of games so early because his team's defense is garbage. It's a frustrating thing to see. So until, you know, the Raiders prove that they're going to give Jacobs the targets and they're going to, you know, put a defense around so they don't fall behind by 20 super early, it's too risky to take, you know, your second, third round guy who can straight up not play in the second half because the team is down. So I like Jacobs as a player, but I'm not going to be taking him unless he falls.
I didn't take him for the simple fact that I didn't trust the Raiders offense this year. For the reasons that you just pointed out. And not only that, the offense is the backfield offense, at least. You know, they mix in guys far too often. They don't leave Jacobs in there enough. I mean, you're seeing Jalen Richard and Devontae Booker mixing in a little too much for my liking. It's similar to who's that other team that does a similar thing that annoys you when, you know, because every time you look on the field, like, where's Jacobs? How come Jacobs isn't out there? Why is it, you know, what's Booker doing in the backfield? You know, it's sort of like, it's frustrating when you see a guy out there who shouldn't be there. And I found that with Jacobs a lot. Although I will say, you know, when Sip started his first game out of the chute, Jacobs looked like, all right, positive. But I don't know, just sort of the touches and snap counts just sort of dwindled away. Everybody stands here. You're absolutely right. Yeah, Jacobs. I didn't target him myself, but I can see why people did. My next guy is Jonnu Smith. Now, I targeted him heavily. I tried to get him everywhere good. Everything was going swimmingly while the getting was good, but... I don't know what it was. I think one of the receivers wasn't playing, and so it helped Jonnu Smith get a few more targets. And seemed like earlier in the season, like Jonnu Smith was a guy. And now I don't know. It seemed like late in the season he slipped away, and I really thought he would be up there with the tight end ones, like at least close to the elite. But he turned out to fade off as the season went on. I don't know why, but why he got phased out of the offense to the degree that he was, because he was like that. He started getting down to like 1 to 2 targets a game. And he was getting, I mean, I think this last game he got a few more targets and he put up some fantasy scores or points, but I don't know. He had guys like Firkzik muscling in on the target share. I don't know what happened, but Jonu Smith, yeah. Things started definitely tapering off a little bit too much. I mean, have you got another guy?
Yeah, I got Michael Gallup. I was pretty in on Michael Gallup this year as a wide receiver, low 2, high 3. He was very good to end last year, but CeeDee Lamb is just an incredible player. Really good talent, and immediately leapfrog Gallup on that depth chart. So Gallup super inconsistent now, even with Dak playing. And not targeting Gallup next year unless there's a trade or something in the works. But with the Cowboys, so long as Cooper and Lamb are there, Gallup's not going to be a big part of that offense.
No, I don't see it. It's kind of hard to say when Dak gets back. I think when Dak gets back, it's CeeDee Lamb. And I think the actual real problem guy is Amari Cooper. But who targets Amari Cooper? Nobody ever targets. Amari Cooper is just like, well, he's on the board still. Better take him, you know? Because if I don't scoop him. And actually, Amari Cooper gives you good fantasy, has good fantasy return. At least when Dak is in there. Dak still likes Amari Cooper. And, he gets a good share of fantasy points. But you're right, it's Lamb and Cooper. Gallup is the odd guy out, so. But I tell you one thing. Gallup, he's kind of like Galladay. On another team, he would be, he would get good targets, you know. He would get a good target share. I think Gallup's a very talented receiver. I've seen him make some fantastic catches. Just really, really, I mean, we're talking real WR1 style catches. And indeed, Gallup was one of those, hype train guys. And I think Gallup, if he ever does move to another team, he could be one of those post-hype sleepers, you know?
Yeah, I mean, he would have to move to another team first.
Yeah.
And depending on the offense he moves to, yeah. But as of right now, as the situation stands, if he stays with the Cowboys, I will not be targeting him.
Nope. Doesn't work on the Cowboys. My other guy is Aaron Jones. I targeted Aaron Jones, but he had a few injuries, so you didn't have him for a bit of the early part of the season for a while. So you were without him. And then when he came back, the balance of the offense, he wasn't getting the touchdowns. The touchdown regression was really regressed. More regressed than you would expect. I mean, we kind of expected a touchdown regression, but we didn't expect it this much. And now I'm kind of wondering, he's not getting as many pass catching opportunities as well from Aaron Rodgers. So the shine has gone off Aaron Jones this year a little bit. Not a lot, not a big lot. You still want to get this guy on your team, but not as high as you might have drafted him this year. So this bit of the shine has gone off Aaron Jones, and I would target others ahead of him. I'm sad to say at the moment.
Yeah, I mean, Aaron Jones is RB5 on the season. Yeah. I don't know what you were expecting to start the year, but Aaron Jones is RB5 in standard leagues. So,
oh, standard, right?
Okay. Well, he's also RB5 in half PPR. So,
he's done that well. He's come back that much.
Yeah, the volume is up this year. He's not going to score like 18 touchdowns or whatever. But
yeah, it's the touchdown.
He's done well. It just seems like he's kind of off because the Packers will randomly take him out of games halfway through.
Yeah.
But he's done very well this year, quite obviously. RB5. So I disagree with you there. Aaron Jones, as long as he's a good running back, he might not be in Green Bay next year, but as long as he goes to a semi decent offense, he's going to be very, very valuable. Well, that's it for question one.
Yeah.
Moving on to the next one. So a player that you missed the boat on early. So I assume you, when you wrote the question, you meant like waiver picks that you missed?
Or a guy that I didn't draft late, that I didn't have much confidence. Somebody else that I would have picked, like some guy I should have picked instead of Christian Kirk or something like that, you know. I'm talking about guys that down the list that I kind of missed the boat on. And a guy that I should have given it. A guy I should have taken a chance on more than just going for a sure thing, that sort of thing. The question is just a player that you missed the boat on, basically. And my guy that I missed the boat on is Corey Davis. But I didn't expect it. Nobody did. Who could expect Corey Davis to? But, people late in the draft, people, they pick up Corey Davis and, hit and hope. It's one of those hit and hope things. And Corey Davis, he's great. You're starting Corey. I can't believe it, but you're starting Corey Davis every week. Matchup, regardless of the matchup, you're starting Corey Davis. I think the reason is that the presence of AJ Brown has pulled some of the coverage off of him, and now he's getting opportunity, and it's working. It's working out like a charm. And Corey Davis, I missed the boat on him. I don't know why it is. I should have thought that AJ Brown was going to draw coverage and it was going to open up Corey Davis a little more. I don't know why I didn't think. I didn't think that way, and my mistake, my bad. I should have figured that one out. I don't know about you, but that's how I feel about it.
I just didn't trust Corey Davis to start. I'm not super sorry I missed the boat on him. I am, because he was a good producer, but that's one of those, I didn't, after what, three years of kind of spotty production from him, I didn't want to take the leap again. I had done it for a couple of years. I didn't want to do it again. So yeah, it sucks that I didn't, but I'm not too mad about missing the Corey Davis one, honestly.
Yeah, but it was kind of one of those logic things that you sort of just don't think about, like because you can't stand him, and what you've seen in the past that he doesn't get targeted by other quarterbacks, and so Tannehill has finally settled in, and which I might say too, I think I might have missed the boat too on Ryan Tannehill. Ryan Tannehill's had quite a few good games, very few duds. I haven't taken a look at his overall stats, but
Tannehill had a little mid-season lull, but he's been QB7 on the year.
Yeah.
So it's Kyler, Mahomes, Josh Allen, Rodgers, Wilson, Deshaun Watson, and then Tannehill. So it's not like he's came out of nowhere. He was ranked this highly at the end of last year too, as a starter. People didn't really believe in him, but the Titans offense is, I believe, the highest scoring offense in the league. I think they scored one more point than the Chiefs have over the course of the year.
That's amazing.
So
that's an amazing stat. Yeah. You wouldn't guess that, would you?
No.
Especially from a run first team.
Yeah, the Titans offense is good. Them and the Chiefs both average 31.1, and I believe the Titans have scored one more point, if I'm not mistaken. I'll go take a look at it, but yeah, Titans offense is good, and because you have to sell to stop Derrick Henry. You can't not sell to stop Derrick Henry. And then Tannehill, all he has to do is be average, throw it to AJ Brown, throw it to Corey Davis, Jonnu Smith, and yeah, there's nothing really you can do. That's why they're scoring so well. Yeah. The Chiefs have scored 435 points. The Titans have scored 436. The highest scoring offense in the league, the Tennessee Titans.
Unreal. I would never have guessed. I would have said the Chiefs immediately. But 1 point more.
I gotta thank Chris Sims for that one. That wasn't me. I heard on Chris Sims Unbuttoned podcast this morning. So that's I'm not gonna take credit for finding that one.
No, it's a good one. It's a good one to pass along.
Yeah. I guess my guy I missed the boat is Chase Claypool. I know he's been a little inconsistent with the Steelers offense dropping off of late, but after his first couple of games, you can kind of see that he was a big play guy. He scored in his first game, I believe. And I thought about it, didn't do it, because I figured that, Juju would pick it up. Deontay Johnson was there. I figured Claypool was behind James Washington as well. And then, of course, when he scored 4 touchdowns in week 5, that all just went out the window.
Yeah.
And I lost, I think I tried to bid like $35 on him, and I got outbid by $1. Somebody bid 36.
Ooh.
So missed the boat there. And yeah, it sucks. I got to keep my money and spend it on absolutely nothing as the season went on, but you know how it goes. So I'm disappointed that I could have had Claypool for free in between weeks 1 and 4, didn't do it, and I was stuck with a revolving door of waiver wide receivers all year long.
Yeah. There's some other guys, too, that I would like to, some honorable mentions. Gus Edwards would be a guy that I kind of missed the boat on. He's a handy bench running back to have for the bye weeks and stuff. I really like to have a guy like Gus Edwards on my team, just, you know, on my bench or something to, you know, for bye weeks and stuff, or even in a good matchup. I mean, he's pretty solid. He's had a pretty solid year, like, as a running back and getting lots of carries. I'll put him as an honorable mention. He's just kind of coming off the top of my head there. But, guys like him, they're good to have on your bench, those guys.
Yeah. All right. Next question, question three. Name a player that you dropped way too early. Who you got?
Robert Tonyan. I gave up on Robert Tonyan because I felt like the touchdown streak was ending, and and this was in our F6P league. I dropped him. It was the stupidest thing I ever did. Why did I drop him? Well, I just didn't want to hang on to him. I found him hard to trust after that, but I don't know. Rodgers keeps going to him again, and he's picked it up, and he's a good guy to have for fantasy playoffs, and I would like to... I'd definitely like to have him. Now, granted, I've managed to patch things up with other guys like Logan Thomas and Noah Fant, who you dropped in. And then
you're in the finals. It doesn't matter.
Yeah, I know it doesn't matter, but it mattered at the time.
And it was hilarious at the time.
Yeah, you had a good laugh at that. But
I did the same thing with Tonyan. I added him after his 3 touchdown games, spent some big budget on him. He proceeded to put up no touchdowns in the next 5 weeks. 25, 32, 79, 5, and 33 yards. Dropped him after a 33-yard game. I was like, it was just a flash in the pan. And then the touchdown streak started. So, you know, that sucked. And I've been moving forward with Hurst and Goddard, but Goddard was still hurt at the time, so...
Yeah.
Yeah, it's not been great.
Yeah. I hate dropping guys that go off after, you know... Right, especially if it's the next week, and... Because as soon as I dropped Tony, he was picked up right away. And I thought, go ahead, if you know, have fun. And they do. It always happens. So you got... Who else?
My guy I dropped early is Brandon Cooks. This is a shallower league, so I'm more okay with this, but I did drop him. The beginning of the year with Bill O'Brien, he was looking not good. He had the 0-yard game in week 4, and then, you know, weeks 1 and 3, he put up less than 25 yards. He wasn't getting targets. So I cut bait, and then, you know, Bill O'Brien got fired, and Cooks immediately jumped up and looked like the receiver he had been for, you know, the last 4 or 5 years. That's on me. I should have been a little bit more patient with that, considering he had faced Baltimore and Pittsburgh, a couple of really good defenses. So
yeah,
that's on me. But also, I didn't really see Bill O'Brien getting fired that early, considering that he had made all those moves to put himself in that position. But
right.
Yeah, Brandon Cooks, dropped him a little early, and I won't be afraid to take him next year.
Let me guess, you dropped him after the Minnesota game when he got nothing. A 94% snap count, and he got 3 targets and no catches. And then he goes off against Jacksonville, and then the rest is history. Yeah, he's definitely a good flex WR3 guy. Yeah, sorry to hear that. Sorry to hear that. Good guy to have on your bench there. My guy that I dropped way too early was Nyheim Hines. Hines took a while. He started off like a house on fire. Then I put him in the next week, and he turned out crap. Let me just take a look at his stats after. Let's find out exactly when I dropped him. I dropped him right around, I think I dropped him around week 6. And then one of our other guys picked him up in his league, and then he proceeded to put up nearly 20 fantasy points. And then he had a down game. Then he was up again to 26 fantasy points and 6, and 13, 50, then 10, 9, 6, 4. I mean, this is a guy you can... This is a guy I wish I had on my bench that I threw away. A guy that could be, you know, a handy guy to have on my bench. Kind of similar to what I was saying about Gus Edwards. A guy that can go off on a game. Like, you can throw him out there, and he's kind of a hit and hope guy, but he's more hope than hit more often than not in that sense. You know, kind of like Gus Edwards. Gus Edwards can fly in for a touchdown at any given time. And that's the same with Nyheim Hines. He can have, you know, fly in with a good game. I dropped him way too early. I dropped Nyheim Hines. I should have held on to him a little bit longer, I think. So, bit of a mistake.
I mean, that Colts backfield was a mess. Was a mess for quite a bit. So, I can't really blame you.
But I hate giving up guys that are... I hate giving up good players that fill up your bench. Like, he's a good player to have on the bench, you know? It's when you need him.
That's fair. It's also a good segue, talking about the Colts backfield. Question four here. What player was most frustrating to own, but you couldn't drop him? Mine is Jonathan Taylor.
Right.
Obviously, this is a keeper league, so there was obviously no thought of dropping him.
Right.
But... incredibly frustrating. Keeper league, I took him in the first, and having him, you know, not get the touches and then not do a lot with the touches to start the year, incredibly frustrating considering, you know, how highly touted he was and how good the Colts offensive line was supposed to be. But obviously it paid off. Has looked extremely good the last 4 weeks. Didn't quite get as many touches as I thought he would against the Texans, considering how bad their run defense is. But that's okay. Jonathan Taylor is looking like that guy that's going to be first rounder or a borderline first rounder next year anyways. And yeah, it paid off despite how frustrating the first, 9 weeks of the season were as a JT owner.
I think you're right. I think Jonathan Taylor is definitely I think he's well into the first round. I think you can, I would say you could even take him at 7 or 8. I think you could be quite comfortable taking him there.
Right now he's RB10. So ahead of him, you're looking at, say, McCaffrey, Cook, Henry, Kamara, probably Jones, depending on where he ends up. Barkley, maybe if he looks good in camp. Adams, Tyreek, maybe Michael Thomas, depending on how, you know, Breeze looks to end the year. Things like that. Maybe Metcalf, because I know Metcalf fans, like yourself, they're quite rabid over DK. And
he's awesome.
Y'all like your DK. DeAndre Hopkins, maybe, because he's played pretty well. And as Kyler continues to improve, then Hopkins will play well as well. But yeah, I'm Taylor, 10 to 12 is where he's probably going to end up going.
I could see, you mentioned DK Metcalf. DK Metcalf could be one of the receivers that breaks up the string of running backs in the first round.
Well, I think Adams and Hill are going to be the be like 6-7 around the area that Michael Thomas was this year.
Yeah, and so a DK could easily go in the first round as well. Later,
don't forget
later
Nick Chubb.
And Nick Chubb, he's a good
Chubb
player.
Chubb is so good.
He is. He's a good player to have. He's like Derrick Henry. He's a good player to have at this time of year.
Yep.
Excellent.
And he's fresh, right? He took those 4 weeks off with the knee injury.
He did.
Coming
that
back
was unfortunate.
Super fresh. He's not, he's not beat up or anything like that.
Yeah. So my guy that is frustrating to own, but you can't drop him. And it's really not his fault. I mean, if you don't have the IR slot, or if you just have one IR slot and you've got to hold it for this guy, John Brown. John Brown, you can't really drop him because if he comes back, he's going to do well. And I guess this is why I think last week I was trying to say that not Isaiah McKenzie, who's the other Bills guy that was starting to emerge? There.
Gabriel Davis,
and I was trying to talk myself into Gabriel Davis being better than John Brown actually being better because Gabriel Davis being better because he's simply on the field. But that's the whole thing. You want a guy who's on the field, and John Brown, if he's taking up your IR spot all year, there's other guys you got to drop in order to keep John Brown. Or if you don't have an IR spot, it's even worse. You got to hold. You can't drop, because if John Brown gets dropped, somebody else who has room for a guy like John Brown can hold him. And so John Brown, year in year out, he's a frustrating guy to own. And the fact that he's not really, he's obviously not the number one. It's Diggs. He's not that important to keep. So, I don't know, in shallower leagues, yeah, sure, just drop, no problem. But in, you know, 12 to 14 leagues, you can't really, you know, 12 to 14 team leagues, you can't drop John Brown. So he's frustrating. I think you can say that for a lot of the guys like Golladay, I think, too. And I guess, you know, Michael Thomas, you can't drop these guys, these injured guys, and that are taking up, you know, a valuable. So most leagues, I know that in our league, they expanded because of COVID, they expanded our IR slots. But, you know, that's going to go back to one slot next year. And that one IR slot is kind of an important slot. So so that's my, he's a bit of my bugaboo this year. John Brown bugs me. I'm not targeting him because I don't want to keep him.
Well, and as we've been doing for the last couple of questions here, looking ahead to next year, we talked about the first round already. Who's your number one? Obviously, there are a few. We talked about this before the show. Three main running backs in the conversation for number one.
Yeah.
But who do you have going number one?
Well, you know what? The way I feel is that I would think like like long term. Like I look at Chubb and Derrick Henry as being, you know, practically indestructible. Well, especially Henry. And he's like Mr. December as well. He's doing it again. And you think, well, this is a guy you got to have. And he's had a good year. And once again, he's going to be the rushing champion. Oh, by the way, speaking of Henry, how's his rushing totals? Is he going to catch?
No, I messed up the math last week. As I mentioned right after I did the math, he needed to average 156 yards.
Yeah, but he got 100. Game. But he got what? He got 146 this week, right?
So yeah, so he still needs like 160 some yards per over the last two games to hit 2,000 yards. So yeah. I mean, yeah, he's got some nice matchups coming up, like. The Packers this week. So mm-hmm. And then after is the Texans. So if Vrabel really wanted Henry to you know hit 2,000 or you know catch Eric Dickerson, he could just give him 30 carries in each of these games, and he could run for you know 200 some yards in each one, especially against Houston.
Right.
Because he already ran for 212 against them earlier this year.
Well, you gotta hope the Colts keep winning so that they have to play hard in week 17.
Yeah, that's another thing, right? So
they don't have to rest.
And of course, that brings it in, right? You know, Derrick Henry, so consistent. You know exactly what you're getting with Derrick Henry.
Yeah,
doesn't get hurt. You know he's gonna get goal line. Well, you don't know he's gonna get goal line touches because Tannehill called his own number on the goal line twice this past weekend.
That's right. But I think we both agree that it's got to be Christian McCaffrey. I mean, yes. you explained it before the pod today that it was you know. That it was his production, even just in the four games that he was in there full time. It was awesome.
Yeah, I mean, so like you said before the podcast, I looked it up. McCaffrey's only played three games, but he's RB50. In just three games of production, he's RB50. So he's ahead of, you know, Philip Lindsay, Joshua Kelly, Le'Veon Bell, all these guys. He's only played three games. He's produced, what, 20, 32, 22, and 27 or something crazy like that in those games. Like, yeah. If he's healthy, he's producing. You know he's going to get the targets. You know he's going to get 90% of the snaps. I don't, like, as long as Camp comes out and he's healthy, I think McCaffrey's number one for sure.
Are we doing moving on up, like who's playoff worthy or something? I don't know what we're doing. I didn't put anybody in for that. How are we doing for time?
I haven't been timing it, but we've been on the call for an hour and 20 already. So
yeah, we're
getting
close.
Why don't we
just
do Mr. Unlimited and wrap it?
Okay, sounds good. Mr. Unlimited. You know who I'd like to pick for Mr. Unlimited, but they lost was Jalen Hurts. But I can't pick Jalen Hurts. I can't. I would love to pick Jalen Hurts for Mr. Unlimited. I mean, you don't know how much I would love to pick him.
Dallas Goedert had caught one of his three Hail Mary attempts, then he might have been Mr. Unlimited.
Yeah, he might have. So I gotta.
But, you know,
I gotta fish
Goddard
around
had
for
three chances in the end zone.
I know he's just total done. Wentz is. I think that performance is like pushed. It's pushed Carson Wentz out the door. That performance, it's done it right. So anyways, I got to pick somebody else. So if you've got somebody ahead of me, you can go ahead and make your nomination. But I've got to go find somebody.
I'm going to go Kyler Murray. I know he was outscored ever so slightly by Josh Allen and Ryan Tannehill, but I'm going Kyler because this was his, I guess, his comeback game after weeks of just awful performances starting in Seattle. And then he got hurt in New England with the shoulder injury and he wasn't running. He wasn't looking good. Came back against the Eagles, who are a half-decent defense, 406 yards, three touchdowns, and then ran in for another touchdown. He looks healthy. His throwing motion is back to normal. And the entire Cardinals offense just hit another level because their quarterback could do the things that he's used to doing. I know he was outscored by two other guys, but I'm going to go with Kyler just because it was an exciting comeback. And he threw for 400 yards. I mean, come on.
David Montgomery topped the board, but I wouldn't pick him, but I would actually, you know, I'd like to give
Montgomery is also a good pick.
Yeah, Montgomery's a good pick too. Yeah, I mean, he's well deserving because he's come along and he's coming on just like the other guys. He's coming on strong at the end of the fantasy season for fantasy players. He's doing an awesome job. But you know who I would pick? I would actually pick Tony Pollard as Mr. Unlimited because he came in like this was just like, I don't think he knew he was going to be the starter. I think this was a game time decision for Ezekiel Elliott. And he just came in on a game time decision. And Tony Pollard, he scored big time. 28 fantasy points. He was ripping runs left and right, like in the style of Zeke, you know. The guy right now, the way Zeke is playing right now, there's obviously something not right with Zeke, and you could obviously see that's why Zeke has been out, and he's been hiding it all these weeks. I don't know, but there's absolutely nothing wrong with that offensive line, and Tony Pollard was, you know, ripping off runs left and right. So I'm gonna nominate Tony Pollard. So we gotta decide on this. So you say Kyler Murray, 434 points. Let me take a look at those stats again. So what do you think of Tony Pollard?
Pollard played extremely well, showing why he was one of the, you know, the stronger handcuffs for those that like to do that. Extremely talented, 9 targets, which I was not expecting out of Pollard, but he played very well. Looked shifty, looked fast. His second touchdown was a great run where he escaped like 3 guys who had him by the jersey. It was a great run, and I'm definitely not drafting Zeke in the first round anymore.
No. Yeah, Zeke's fallen out. That's an interesting question. Which of the running backs that were in the top 3 are you not drafting?
Zeke. I don't know.
Where do you put Zeke?
I would take Saquon because his injuries were 2 freak injuries. It wasn't like, again, it wasn't, oh, I pulled a hamstring, oh, like my back is sore kind of thing. This was, he tore his knee to shreds. You know, it's a one-time event.
Yeah.
It's not like Zeke who just looks slow and is fumbling like crazy and his backup is super good. So, like, Wayne Gallman doesn't scare me taking touches from Barkley, but Zeke's issues with fumbles and, you know, the elusiveness is kind of a little bit gone, and Pollard looking so good, that worries me a little bit.
And he had the nerve to hold out last year. The nerve of that guy. Him with his scooping his mouth. You notice he doesn't do that anymore. He doesn't like starts feeding himself with a spoon, does that thing when he gets a first down. He has a little thing that he does. I don't know. I've never liked Zeke Elliott. I've never liked his attitude. But I don't know. Jerry Jones, he seems to like these players with attitude. I haven't played the thing yet, so we got to do this.
Mr. Unlimited. Got to be unlimited.
So who's it going to be? Are you going to cave and say Tony Pollard? Or are you going to say, I really think it should be. Come on.
I mean, I'm looking at the sheet here, and it says that, hey, you deleted it. It said that you were going to be the judge. It
says I was going to be the judge. If you and Kevin were going to be here, it would have been my turn to pick you. Kevin were
going to be. I will give it to Pollard just because he hasn't won one yet.
Right.
No, Kyler hasn't either because we took it away and gave it to. We gave it to Kyler, didn't we?
No, we gave it to.
Yeah, we did.
Yeah, we did. We did give it to Kyler. Yeah,
we gave it to Kyler. All right. We gave it to Kyler. I'll give it to Pollard. He hasn't won one yet. Played super well in a shockingly exciting game.
And a game time decision too. Game time decision. Don't forget.
Yeah. Game so, time yeah, I'll give it to I'll give it to Pollard.
Yeah, Pollard. Pollard is the man, and he's Mr. Unlimited.
Mr. Unlimited. You gotta be unlimited.
You gotta be. You just gotta be. There's something else I want to talk about, too. And this is kind of because we're getting into final thoughts now. I want to talk about Dez Bryant. I saw something in Dez Bryant. Like, he was so happy that he got a touchdown last weekend. I could just feel the enthusiasm, and I could feel the Ravens were so happy for him that he's back. He hadn't caught a touchdown since 2017 in the NFL. And it seemed like he was really happy. And, you know, and I can almost say that for Antonio Brown, too. These players that are long, you know, that have been kind of trodden. And to be honest, I've always kind of, you know, these diva guys, you know. And I think they've sort of like, well, they did a bit of a walk of shame in a way, you know, both of them. And it's kind of nice to see them have a revival a little bit for themselves. Like, you can see how happy their teammates were for, like, Brady with Antonio Brown and Dez Bryant. So my final thoughts is, you know, it was really good to see. Did you feel that with Bryant and Brown?
Yeah, I've always been a Dez fan. I think a lot of people forget how good he actually was. At his peak, 2011 to 2014 in Dallas, like, he's 1,300 yards. He averaged like 13 touchdowns or almost 14 touchdowns. He was very, very good during those years. And then the foot injuries caught up to him, and just he never got it back. But yeah, super happy for Dez catching that touchdown. You know, getting another chance after the Achilles tear took away his chance last year.
Yeah, and of course, and of course, the Cowboys game, which he so wanted to play, and and I wanted to see him in that one too, as I mentioned before. But yeah, I know that you, have thoughts about Josh Gordon having the same thing, but
Don't bring up Josh Gordon. He is not playing tomorrow. The news broke as we were talking earlier.
I know. He might not be playing tomorrow, but...
No, he apparently, according to the NFL, he has not met the conditions of his reinstatement and will not be taken off the exempt list, which is kind of shady on the NFL's part because must have known this was happening. Like, this just happened. He apparently did not meet the conditions of his reinstatement, so he's not going to be playing. They're going to leave him on the exempt list. But it's shady because they would have known that he is not meeting the conditions of his, you know, of his reinstatement. But yet the NFL allowed the Seahawks to cut another receiver to open up a roster spot for Gordon. So I feel like I think the Players Association should get involved on behalf of that receiver that was cut. Because that's, yeah, it oh. All right. Everybody, thanks for listening to the Week 16 edition of the Fantasy Edge. We will bring you a season wrap-up show at some point when Kevin is available to do this. So we look forward to bringing you that. For myself, Jonathan Chan, and Richard Seville, again, this has been the Fantasy Edge presented by Fantasy Six Pack, and we'll see you next time.
Good night, everybody.